An Irish Independent digital subscription doesn't just get you the news. It gets you the best of Ireland's stories all in one place. Whether it's the best of politics, business, sport, entertainment or lifestyle. Get it all for just €4 a month for 12 months when you first subscribe. Visit independent.ie/subscribe today. Irish Independent. Terms and conditions apply. Cancel anytime.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Troy and Hurling Show with me, Michael Verney, and I'm delighted to be joined once again by Eddie Brennan and John Milan to look back on another helter-skelter week of hurling action. And I'll throw it to you, John, at a quarter to eight on Saturday evening, what were your thoughts? Waterford had 2 points in their grasp, probably let one slip through their hands. Probably nearly had a qualification spot in Munster assured, and now we're maybe not so sure. It's spiced up Munster even more again with Tipnow on a point, but there must have been a good bit of disappointment from Waterford people leaving Walsh Park the other night.
Ah, there was, because I suppose, look, the position we were in, 4 points up, 71 minutes on the clock, you're saying, right, it's nearly job done, 4 points on the board, with 4 points on the board, in a fantastic position, and then tip to their credit. You know, any other side probably would have just accepted that, you know, Waterford have come with a late surge, they pushed on, and we'll take our beating. But no, they didn't. They kept fighting to the end, kept going to the final whistle. And for me, look, I said it on the radio yesterday, I think for what Tip brought to the table on Saturday evening, I thought, when you reflect in the aftermath of the match, they probably deserved a draw. Now, from a Waterford point of view, you know, considering the command and position we were in, I suppose for an awful lot of supporters, I suppose for the management themselves, the players themselves, they probably nearly felt like a loss for, you know, for all that they put into it. And as I touched on, considering the command and position they were in, going into those last 3 or 4 minutes, it probably was disappointing in the end that we couldn't get over the line and secure those 2 points, which, as you just touched on, would have went a long way to securing qualification. But in saying that, and I said it to Marie and Des on the radio yesterday, if you told Waterford supporters, if you told David Sherrill, if you told these Waterford players that they have 3 points on the board in the aftermath of the league after being relegated down to Division 1B, that they'd have 3 points on the board, that they'd be able to change their style of play, that they'd be able to register in 5-46, that they'd have the supporters all back on board, exciting levels at an all-time high again. Welsh Park, the Welsh Park factor, back playing so well at Welsh Park. And let me tell you, lads, the atmosphere in Welsh Park Saturday night, I wasn't at the Cork game, I was on duty for Clare Limerick. The atmosphere in Welsh Park Saturday night was just unbelievable. And Tip supporters, to their credit, the travel down probably didn't travel in the numbers that we usually become accustomed to seeing Tip travelling. But to their credit, they generated an awful lot of noise. And Waterford supporters, they came out in their thousands at the weekend, got right behind the team. And I think, you know, Waterford are still in a very, very good place. Very, very good place. Albeit, look, we have to go up to Ennis in 2 weeks' time. We know our record in Ennis isn't great, hasn't been great over the last couple of years. We know it's a tough venue to go to. It's been a tough place for any team to go to. Any team to go up to Ennis, it's always tough. But we've seen last year, Tipperary went up and beat them. Limerick beat them this year. So I don't think it's just a natural foregone conclusion that Clare is just going to overturn Waterford. I think Davey will, behind the scenes, he'll be excited by the next fixture up in Ennis. And the approach has to be that, lads, we go up to Ennis, we win up in Ennis, we're in a Munster final. And that would be an unbelievable achievement. To think about five, six weeks ago that Waterford could potentially be in a Munster final. And look, I don't think Waterford can, if there are two games left, can be looking at getting, you know, other teams to do them favours. I think they've just got to focus on going up to Ennis, trying to get a result up in Ennis, which will put them in it, which will put them in a Munster final. Is it a big ask? It is a big ask. But you couldn't rule them out going up there and pulling it off, because the way they're playing at the moment, they're playing an exciting style of hurling. I think they're playing a style that suits this team. And you got to give, and I said it last week, lads, 2 weeks ago, you've got to give great credit to Fitzgerald, Dave Fitzgerald. I mean, we were on here last year and Cyril was even on, and Cyril would be good friends with Davey. And even Cyril said that, you know, Davey, he's got to go with a different approach. He's got to change it up. And he's done that. He's done that. And I think that's what has supporters excited. That's why I think the feel-good factor is back in Waterford. And for myself, even my own young lad, Jesus, yesterday he was asking me, Jesus, you know, I brought the young lad to the game and the little one, five and a half years of age. And, you know, even yesterday he was getting up excited and asking me, what does Desi have for breakfast? You know, and I was saying, like, Desi eats the porridge or Desi eats the Weetabix. That's what it's all about, lads, you know. Generating, you know, about the kids and getting the kids all involved, and you know,
new heroes.
New heroes, and I just think that's fantastic. And I think for the last couple of years as well, I felt like we were involved in the Munster round robin, but it didn't feel like we were involved, because you know we didn't have our home fixtures. You know, the old Welsh Park was there, and you know, people giving out about the old Welsh Park and the pitch, the way the pitch doesn't suit the team. Now that they've expanded the width of the pitch, the pitch suits them. Welsh Park looks lovely. You know, Welsh Park before, anyone coming to Welsh Park, people said, "Oh Jesus, it's not but a shithole." I mean, the amount of people, the car people, and Tipperary people that have commented on, you know, how good it looks now. And Jesus, even from a Waterford point of view, like, you know, how good it looks now after being one third done. Can we imagine now what it's going to look like when it's fully done? I just think Waterford are in a really, really good, really, really good place right now. And I think, yeah, you got to give great credit to Davey. And you know what, lads? He's 2 years, I will be saying, keep going the way you're going, son. And you can have year three, you can have year four, and you can have year five if you want. You keep doing what you're doing, and there's no one else going to take the job from you. I think because to be fair to Davey, I played under him and I trained under him, and he's very well organised. He's a very, very good coach, and it's just over the years, it's just, you know, he can. And people have commented on it that he can come with some silly stuff and can overcomplicate things, and it can kind of, you know, it can be to the detriment of players when they take to the field. But I think he's after breaking away from that now, and great credit has to go to Davey. And yeah, we're in a really, really good place right now, regardless of the disappointment of not picking up the win the weekend with 3 points on the board. I'd rather have the points behind us now rather than fixtures coming up. Everyone is saying, look, Tip can get on 5. But hey, look, Tip have 2 tough fixtures. They've Cork and they've Clare. They're not going to be easy. So, yeah, Waterford are in a really good place right now. It's great.
Mull, I hope you told your young fella that Desi has 5 a day anyway. Make sure he gets the fruit and veg into him from a young age. That's very, very important. but Eddie, I just throw it back to you just on Mull's point there. I think... even Stephen Bennett's goal, the short free from Desi, like that 100% reminded me of Flynn passing it to you, Mull, back in 03, I think. Like, the shackles are off, like, Ned, you'd say. Like, Waterford are playing way more off the cuff now.
Yeah, and it suits them. And we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago because, look,
I obviously haven't had the privilege, or whatever you want to call it, of working under Davy Fitz. John, you know, has that experience. And by all accounts, you know, there's part of me would often be curious, you know, what does he do? Because he seems to get a twist out of teams. You know, there's no doubt. Like, I mean, he went down to Wexford and brought them from somewhere they never were to be in what they are. And I think we're even still seeing, you know, a Wexford team now at the moment that key roster's taken on. But organisation-wise and everything, I think it's fair to say that he would be very much controlling things to the point that, you know, I think he's a suspicious character by nature. I think he just wants to make sure it's all under his control or whatever. So maybe, just maybe, we're seeing now, did he give Owen Kelly a little bit of scope? You know, did he take a bit of input off Owen Kelly now and say, hold on now, Davey, we actually have a very athletic team here. We have guys that can score. Like, the one thing I know about, and I love, we'll talk about it, I suppose, in the moment. I love that Desi thing. That's brilliant. I love seeing players roll a move like that, that the risk was absolutely justified with the reward. It was brilliant to see that in a match where there's so much at stake. Waterford weren't flowing, we'll say. They had a couple of voids from play. So therefore, them goals were significant. And to roll that at that time, it was just, what it is it just knocks the opposition back down again. Do you know, Tip were getting a good foothold in the match.
And on top of that, Eddie, I'd say it was about 90 seconds. It could have been about 2 minutes just before that. He missed a free right in front of the goal now that you put over with your eyes closed. And then have the audacity then to say, well, right, you know what? I'm thinking of the bigger picture here. I'm thinking of goals. Like Flynn, like that was a touch of Flynn. Flynn would always be thinking, right, we're going to go for the extra 3 points rather than the point. Like your team of old, you'd always go for the green flag. And for Desi to take on the leadership, because if that went bellies up off the back of missing the straightforward free, then all of a sudden heads could drop. But no, he said, you know what, I'm going for this. I'm taking this on. And the realisation that at such a crucial stage in the game that Tip were starting to get on top. I think they were after rolling over 3 or 4 points in a row. And next thing, boom, over the bend, back in the net. And next thing, the crowd just rose up and got behind the team again.
Yeah, no. And
massive plaudits to Desi Orchard for that.
And what you're seeing then, like when you look through that Waterford team, and always, I think you see this sometimes with teams during the league, they're heavy-legged and stuff like that. And it's horrible as a player because you're feeling yourself, what is wrong with me here? But you're actually in a heavy block of training. So therefore, that explosive life in your legs. But what we're seeing then, you know, you take the end of that match, you know, the Callum Lyons point, the Fagan point, they're marauding up the field. And you look at several times in the first half, the Tipperary middle third guys weren't able to stay with them. Like, they just powered up, slapped over points. I think Lyons had maybe a really good one there in the first half. What Davy Fitz maybe has done is looked at what I have here and finally said, you know, yes, we defend well. I'm gutted for Conor Brunty. Guys, we're being robbed of what is one of the best defenders in the game. And unfortunately, you say, how can we consider that when we don't get to see him? He's plagued with injury, the poor devil. And you'd be disappointed for hurling people as a whole to see that gone. But I just thought Waterford's energy levels, that's what they bring. And usually Davy Fitz's team are full of running. Now, albeit, you know, how long do you sustain that for? But just to take up quickly on Mull's point there, you know, I just said, yeah, I agree. If you had to say after the campaign, Waterford would be where they are. However, I think privately, Davy will be reeling. You know, that point is massive now because he'd have been targeting those the whole matches, the way. And yeah, they've nothing to lose. I think, if anything, Waterford have a little ghost exercise up in Ennis, because 2 years ago, I thought they let themselves down in a big, big way with the way they presented and turned out in Ennis that evening. They were meek at best. I think for me, that evening, Austin Gleeson was the only one that really came out of that match with credit. You know, I just thought it looked as if they just weren't bothered. So there's that little motivation. Davy will love all these little things to motivate the team. But I do think that, you know, at the end of a campaign, and this is the beauty of the Munster Championship, it ebbs and flows. Like you said, had Waterford got the win, that was probably Tip and Carr cooked nearly, because Waterford had both of them then on the head-to-heads. So therefore, Waterford were relatively safe regardless to what happened. But now, you know, Tip have something really to play for. And especially now, if Limerick put Cork out next weekend, there's little different connotations that could play out. But look, overall on that match, I thought that was some battle. I tell you now, Mull, it was something I looked in at from the outside. I don't know about you, but I just went, oh my God, between the 2:45s, lads, it was kill or be killed. I never seen, we often see that with matches now. They can go into that middle third and it's just a war zone. But that was an absolute war of attrition in there the other day. And to be fair to both people, I was expecting sparks on the sideline. If there's one thing is wrong with Walsh Park at the moment, there's very little room to maneuver over there where the managers are. It could get spicy. But to be fair to both players and both managers, they put in a big performance. And there was no whinging from players. I love that. When it's war and there's little 50-50 freeze, there was no line down, there was no play acting. They really got on with it. And I thought, from a Tip point of view, questions were asked to them, and to be fair to them, they rose really, really well. And overall, I thought they put in a good 70 minutes hurling.
One player, and you just touched on that middle third, and you're 100% right, Eddie. They were up, down, up, down, up, down. One player we haven't commented on, Darragh Lyons, lads. He is playing out of his skin. He was magnificent against Cork, and the other day, he was, you just touched on, as lads were, their energy levels. He was like a Duracell bunny, could just go up and down.
Am I right in saying he was tagging Noel McGrath after about 15 minutes? They, Noel was out. Remember, I think it was obvious that he was going to play. He played centre forward and he just started moving everywhere bar where where DeBorca was. And then they seemed to send Darragh Lyons after him. And I thought after that, they knew, I suppose Davey knows, Noel McGrath won't bring you that buzzing all over the place, but he's very clever on the ball. And probably what they didn't need was him getting on possession, being able to get the heads up and plant the ball inside.
Ned, I'll just throw it back to you on Tip. Chalk and cheese between 6 days previous against Limerick. There was serious question marks. And I know Liam Cattle had serious question marks and, said he was going to mix it up a bit. And he did. He brought in three new faces. But if you're looking for whether a team was playing for a manager or not, Tip were fairly playing for him the other night. And they never gave in. And it finished... They finished 28 scores to 24, I think. Tip got plenty of score. Tip got plenty of scores on the board, and even we were talking about there wasn't a massive Tip crowd there, but Cattle was fairly riling them up any chance he got, and it was all action on the line. But that was a huge performance for Tip and a huge result for him as well, because it breathes life into their challenge now.
Well, their season was on the line, Mick. It was that simple. It was their season was on the line. If they came out of there with a duck egg, that was it. Their year was probably over, because Waterford were now in a huge position where they had head-to-heads on both the teams underneath them, who needed to win their last two matches against, Clare, against Limerick. So that was the big ask. So they did. I thought a guy who has been very quietly excellent, in my view, has been Conor Bow at wing-back. I thought... It's a bit of a gamble when a manager does that, but he's a big physical presence there. And albeit, I think when they shove Shane Bennett out on towards the ends, he won a few balls. But, you look at now, one of the big weapons for Davy Fitz is Mike Kiley aerial. They put ball down on top of him and he caught some absolute monsters the other night. And he'd done the same against Cork. But from a Tip point of view, Mikey Breen, I thought, done well. He was obviously detailed with Stephen Bennett, and he just gave him, at times he switched off, and Bennett threw over a couple of beautiful points in the first half, a couple of real dingers. There was one over there on the sideline, over the shoulder. He's able to work in such tight spaces, and Mikey Breen was good. Ronan was excellent. But they had to. I suppose sometimes, and again, you go to the Limerick match, you are playing the All-Ireland champions, you are probably in a funny place for Tip. They don't know where they are coming into a championship. And when you get a few setbacks and you're finding yourself not being able to work into a match, and I've experienced that, where you're in a match and go, oh, geez, these lads are on it today. We're struggling here. Tip, with Limerick last week. So maybe today yesterday they were a little bit more, Saturday evening, they were a bit more tuned in. And it comes into a little pride factor then. So, I often talk about that clip that Ron Nagara talks about. You can say you care, but do you really, really care? And I'd say that was the only thing that maybe Tip would have asked themselves during the week. How much do we care now, lads? How much do we care about wearing our county's jersey, and going out there and representing the county, because that was where it was. And they had this, don't forget, they had this 2 years ago where they had a championship, a Munster campaign that just petered out into, you know, a poor thing. So there was a risk of that happening. So in fairness to them, the questions were asked and they responded. And they knew in no uncertain terms they were going into the Lions then in Waterford, and Waterford in a good place.
One player we didn't mention there now, and it's his first county game to play all year. And yeah. I love how abrasive Barrett is, lads. He's all action, he's all energy. I'm sure he's the sort of fella that neither the two of you would have been too keen on marking, because he's in that mold of a cornerback. When he wins a ball, he lifts the crowd as well. I thought he got in a couple of great flicks even early doors, just kind of a few kind of statements of intent, kind of to show that the tip meant business or whatever last weekend. But Mull, anything on tip there? Like, They managed to hold in and scrape a result. Like, is there potential for them to kick on now?
Oh, absolutely. And you have to consider as well, lads, that they had setbacks. And for me, and there was a couple of Tipperary supporters up behind me, and they were getting real riled up by some of the refereeing decisions as well. And I felt, you know, some of the decisions probably, you know, were probably more lenient towards Waterford. Now, some of them, you know, you were kind of scratching your head saying, Jesus, what was that about? Like Noel McGrath was given a yellow card for, I think, a foul on Darragh Lyons. It could have been Darragh Lyons. Now, it was... And this is the big bugbear of mine, lads, that we're dishing out yellow cards
for nothing.
Or nodding, and then, you know, that player then is on a, you know, he kind of has to be kind of looking over his shoulder and say, Jesus.
Well, look, like, at Lee Ryan from Wexford, booked after 2 minutes.
I can't commit again, or I can't commit to a tackle, or, you know,
I suspect there was the one you were talking about there with Noel McGrath, I suspect there was a little bit of talk afterwards that might have been it. Because it was, if it was for that foul, it was fear soft.
The rules, it must have changed, boys, because those yellow cards that they're dishing out, they are not yellow card offences by the book. Like, and they're just giving yellow cards for anything now. And then you look at, and I know he kind of half got the ball, but Mikey Kiley nearly went through Barrett. I thought there was two fouls in that, and the Kiley foul. And even like, how does, and I know he was only on the field 30 seconds, but how does the Bonner not get a card for that tackle? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
a good chance. When you look at then the Donald O'Shea one, and then the Conor Cooney one. So, like, it's... And look, the speed of the game is ferocious, but I do think that, you know, and we'll come to that one in a second, the Wexford one, but, yeah, it's not simple either, but I think it's... I don't know, like... The one thing I think you hate or you really detest, and sometimes you refs are reffing off their ears. You know, a lad lets a yelp, and we, you know, people do that, but... Jesus, whatever you do, unless you are 110%, don't guess. Please don't guess whatever you do that you go, oh, geez, there must have been something there, because that just drives me wrong.
Hey, funny, Eddie, we played Luss my first year playing senior, and I went for a ball against John Try, and I clearly got the ball, and all you could hear was, he starts roaring like that, and I says, John, I barely touched it. He says, yeah, but I have to scream, he says. And of course, I got yellow and he got a free. Like, but it's funny, like, referees can be bought in certain instances like that as well.
And like the one, I know we'll call it the Conor Cooney one, it was highlighted last night. It's the hurl is close to the head, right? But it's clearly the ball being flicked. So you can, in some degrees, you can give him an understanding that, God, oh yeah, God, that they're very close. It happened so quickly. But at the same time, it was blatantly obvious like that. So it was the hurling ball. Like, so don't, you know, and even too, like, there's nothing worse. I hate seeing players making a big meal out of something either, because they know, I suppose, don't blame the player, blame the game. They know that sometimes refs are influenced by that stuff.
But going back to tip, like, you know, you touched on it. Conor Bowe had, he'd some battle with Jamie Barron. I watched him, he tagged him everywhere he went. And to be fair to Barron, Barron bombed into it in the last 15, 20 minutes when Waterford really, really were coming under pressure. Barron really kind of, you know, brought energy, you know, brought the grafts, brought a bit of guile, you know, was offloading an awful lot of ball, and we got an awful lot of joy out of it. Another player who was very good was Alan Tynan. He really kind of,
took it upon himself to kind of say to drive on, say, right, lads, we're not going to be beaten here today. He was excellent, and you're honestly right. Personal pride came into it. You could see Nolan McGrath was, you know, in those 20 minutes in the second half, he was getting on ball, he was laying off ball, you know, back to the Nolan McGrath of old. I was surprised that they actually took him off, but when he was coming off and John McGrath was coming on, you could see him. He was going, "Oh, come on, now, you need to get out."
If Tip could get John McGrath back in mode, like, God, he'd be some addition to them.
But John McGrath had a big impact when he came on, and likewise did the Bonner. Mark Yeo was very good. Jake Morris was close down off. Then he started. He got a score. I think he finished with 3 points. Rowan Amar was excellent. So, lads, they have some serious players. Like, they will, they play Clare, they play Cork in their last two games. And I did touch on it in the aftermath of the league that they would beat someone like the serious talent there. And I think they will. I think they'll get a serious bounce off of that result.
What's going to be interesting, though, John, is right now, this is where the Munster comes in. It's significant, right? If Cork are just playing for pride in that last match, you know, will their motivation? So that could be a nice little. I'm not saying that for 1 minute, but I'm just saying if they have 3 defeats playing Tip in that last round, if I'm right,
yeah.
Is there, you know, how much are they then going to fight in that? And I'm not, you know, that's the reality of the situation. They have nothing really to play for, only pride. And that can be a good thing too. But it just might help Tip's case.
You could say, Ned, as well, with Limerick. Limerick could be true playing that last game against Waterford. So, like, there's lots of different kind of variables kind of coming into play there.
And I do think Waterford, one thing I'm waiting to see, and I know they've changed their style a little bit, but I have a funny feeling that, again, we talked about the genius himself. Davey will have something up his sleeve for either Clare or Waterford. There's some little boomerang going to come, I have a feeling. You know, because he probably has to put them on the back foot. So it'll be very interesting to see, particularly Limerick. I thought last year they gave it to Limerick for long periods of that match in the first round. So I'd be very interested to see, or, you know, depends what he's playing for. Is it a spot in the Munster final, or is it just to hold on?
Yeah, no, it's going to be very interesting. Obviously, we only had 2 kind of big hurling games over the weekend, one in Leinster, one in Munster. The one in Leinster fairly lived up to its billing as well. Ned, I'll come to you there first on that. You're talking about, like, teams rising from the ashes and playing for pride. Like, I think from the first minute, you knew that this was a different Wexford. Like, they were ravenous everywhere, getting in flicks, getting in blocks. I think Lee Moog ran into someone after about 10 seconds. And I think Mike Finnerty actually said it on commentary. That was a statement of intent. And it was. And simple things like that can just lay down a bit of a marker. Like, I've been in that position where a fella gives you a dunt after 30 seconds and you're kind of, whoa, you're kind of back and like, wasn't really ready for that. But Wexford brought, you love this word, Eddie, Wexford brought the thunder from minute one to the last minute, and they just were relentless.
And I think I've experienced this where it could be any kind of a match, be it club, county, doesn't matter, where you're kind of not really buzzing. And you sail over to rise a ball, and next thing you're hit, and you're sitting on the ground looking up at the lad that's after hitting you, and you're kind of going, oh, Jesus. And you know in that moment, they're up for it. Like, I've experienced that a few times where you just get sat down with a smack, and it's not, you know, it's just, and you're going, and he's standing over you or whatever, and you go, oh, Jesus, we're in for it now today. That was it. It's like, remember the time Kennelly won at the start of the All-Ireland where he gets the ref kind of, now there's a, you know, so that's maybe a good time to set out your stall, but no, overall, I spoke about this. I thought Evan Nyland bailed out Galway the week before against Kilkenny, you know, having a free taker that nailed everything, a little bit of fortune then off one break and off the goal man. But I think that manifested itself in my view. And when, you know, Galway weren't ready for that war and the thunder that Wexford brought, you just kind of sense they had all the energy. Jesus, Lee Chin gave an exhibition, lads. He was brilliant. And he's a guy that I've been iffy with Lee Chin for the last couple of years, saying, Jesus, he suffered a lot of injuries. But by God, he's clicked. You know the way you get players and they're in the groove for a season or two or whatever. Lee Chin is in the groove. He seems to be hopefully injury free. Everything. He just, the catch in the second half.
That was crazy. He can torch his hands. Like, how do you do it?
Yeah, and But they were like some of their lesser known names, like having Liam Ryan back in there, big physical presence. I mean, you know, for lads, they probably look around when they see Liam Ryan around because they know he's going to thunder in. You're going to get a good hit. It's probably 15 stone hitting you. So you know what you're going to get there. But I thought Wexford's composure, Rec has really settled in as that anchor at six. But they just brought the hunger. They brought the thunder. And Galway weren't able for it. It's very, very simple. And I think that's the one thing that will have disappointed Henry. He was quite animated on the sideline. And I think what Henry has probably seen is he probably has a picture in his head of how he wants his team to play. And he's probably struggling to get that out of him. And he's trying to... It's hard because on the sideline, you want... you know how you want to play. You want lads, like I see them, energy and movement. They just seemed a little bit stuck to the ground, Galway, so they did. So I think that will have disappointed them. But you have to give full credit to Wexford. By God, they showed up. And I'd say if ever there was a rallying call during the week, you know, everything was brought into the mix and pride in their jersey. And the crowd got behind them. And you just sensed from well out. But I just thought when that red card did land, that it was a red card all day long. I'd say Donal O'Shea has a fairly sore face after it. And it wasn't that Ian Byrne went in malicely. It just, he was coming thundering in and just the way it happened. If anything, it triggered Wexford into action. Galway just didn't seem to have the wherewithal then to set up differently and have Wexford chasing their shadows. And the composure of the Wexford team, I referenced it in the article, I think it was there maybe the 63rd minute or something like that. They went short. They came out one side. It looked as if... And if Galway had to have really pressed them, they might have turned them over. They worked it back across and then Hearn drops it over. But the two Hearns for me were absolute... Or the two Connors were brilliant for them. Connor Foley and Connor Hearn, excellent players. I thought, you know, there was some brilliant scores. Connor Mack was busy. His real aggressive self. He doesn't be all over the place, but he's a good man under a drop ball. He caught a couple of good ones. But yeah, look, it was all about Wexford.
They're a serious athletic team, though. Serious. Yeah. Like, they've serious runners in their team. And look, lads...
Liam Oag. John, your point. You said about Alan Tynan. Sometimes lads do an awful lot of work that's unseen. And it just means that it's now a 50-50 battle. They nullify an opponent. I think Liam Oag is that type of player. He just does a lot of busy work that maybe goes unseen. Tagging lads, marking lads, just getting in, shunting a fella out of the way and opening the runway for someone else.
And we referenced this in the league and the aftermath when they beat Waterford. And look, everyone's saying, oh, Jesus, it was only the league. But, you know, you've seen passages of play in the league and they were kind of going, Jesus, these boys look serious. And I suppose the one disappointing thing that, you know, from our point of view, when you're kind of building them up and then they kind of go and they leave you down up in Antrim, you're kind of going, oh, Jesus, you know, why were we building Wexford up? And then they go and they give a performance at out in Antrim, knowing that what's in the locker, that they can bring what they brought last Saturday night, they can bring what they brought up in Nolan Park 2 years ago, they can bring what they brought against Kilkenny down at Wexford Park last year. And chin, lads, I haven't seen a Wexford hurler like him in the last 25, 30 years. He's the best Wexford hurler I've ever seen, any. I mean, he's unbelievable. And Rory O'Connor.
Brilliant.
From play.
And come here, you can't go wrestling with chin, lads. You won't bully him physically.
Like Rory O'Connor, he's a serious, serious hurler. And like he's probably been a bit unlucky with injuries as well. And I was saying on Wexford during the week, I was saying, oh, Jesus, sure, we're over-reliant on chin. We only have chin. Let me tell you, they've more than chin. Rory O'Connor is as good as what's out there. MacDonald, when he wants to be honoured, is a very, very good player. This Keane Byrne, exceptionally good player. Dunbar coming off the bench.
Dunbar, I like Dunbar.
You know, Connor Horn, pace, Liam Oak, pace. They've serious pace in their team. And as you just touched on there, Eddie, Liam Ryan, you know, what a leader. Having him back in your team, if they can get D. O'Keefe back on the field as well. You know, the only killer from their point of view, Jesus, you know, Rossiter must be scratching his head and saying, like, how are we in this position that we're not putting ourselves...
But it's okay, Mull. I think what better stimulant for this Wexford bunch than knowing they have to go to Nolan Park at the end of it? Like, I mean, that's one that they... Like, I heard someone talking about it during the week. I think it was Richie Hogan might have mentioned it, saying that like it's a given. So Kilkenny know what they're going to get off Wexford, and that's a potential for Wexford to jump into a Leinster final. And like, as well too, like Micheál Donoghue bringing Dubs over to Galway for the last round. Am I right in saying that's going on the same day? Like that's juicy, lads. That is going to be very interesting. And for Wexford, for Rossi, he just has to take care of business now against Carlow. He has to ensure that they get that result, and that won't be simple for them. But that's all a head game for them. They have to have their head steeled for that. So that'll be interesting.
If Wexford are to beat Carlow, that puts Wexford on five. And am I right in saying then, like, just say all Galway can reach now is six. Is it seven? So if Galway win their last two games,
yeah, they're all on three.
That puts them on in a Leinster final. So if they play Antrim, and let me tell you, lads, Antrim now are all of a sudden looking on and saying, right, they're playing Dublin this weekend and saying, right,
Galway to go to Antrim.
Galway have to go to Antrim.
Galway have to go to Antrim. Yeah.
Darren Gleeson saying to himself, well, lads, if we're looking at the way Galway performed against Wexford last week, they're going to be half fancy in that fixture against Galway up in Corrigan Park.
They won't be half fancy in it at all. They're looking at that in a big, big way, lads, and you couldn't blame them.
The thing about it with Antrim now is, and this has always been a problem, is the expectation is now on them. It's not like they've caused their shock. Now they need to back up. Now I'll be straight with you. I really fancy Dublin against Antrim this weekend, just because I don't know if Antrim are going to be able to back it. I don't think they'll back it up. I hope they will. But there's some fascinating games where he's like, we couldn't ask for Leinster
Dublin
to be
as well.
Any better than it is, really.
Yeah, like, everyone's.
Yeah, everyone's in with a shout. All games determine, you know, who's going to finish where. Carlow haven't sprung a surprise yet, but they've been competitive. They could spring a surprise yet. They could end up, you know, upsetting somebody yet. So, but just Eddie, I'll just come to you quickly on Galway. Like, I was kind of, I don't know what I was looking at the other day when I was looking at Galway, and I'm always very, I always look at Henry very closely on the sideline to see his body language and that. And the one word I always come back to is he always looks frustrated to me. He always looks frustrated. You kind of half mentioned it, that what he envisages happening on the field and what he, I'm sure, feels he has them prepared for doesn't ever seem to play out on the pitch. And that's a worry. Like, you can say, like, Wexford brought the thunder or whatever, but like, surely Galway knew the thunder was coming. Surely they knew what was coming for them in Wexford Park. And surely there should have been, like, they played the last 20, 25 minutes of the game with an extra man. Like, it's kind of inexcusable. Inexcusable what happened.
I when I'm watching the matches, right, I keep tabs on where the puck outs go. I always kind of on a little sheet. I'm going to show it to you here now. Just on, like, we're talking about what Galway do and where their puck outs go. It was a very obvious pattern with them all. Like, and you can, I just put it up to the screen there. Maybe you can see it there.
Yeah.
You can see the gathering of where all their puck outs went. They predominantly went down on top of the 10. So, like, you're seeing very obvious pattern where 10 or 12 of them went to the four position, kind of around that area. Wexford turned over a couple of them. Then it was all down on top of the 10 mainly, and a few down to the 12 as well. But what they couldn't seem to do was, I thought Wexford's ability to go along in the first half and find those pockets of space with Chin coming out to the 12, Rory coming out to the 12, and then in the second half, where they were kind of against the breeze and had a bit of wind, they were able to carry it out better. Galway just didn't seem to have that energy to carry it out. Like, again, you go back to it, there was 10 lads on that field that were involved in the All-Ireland in 17. So I suppose for Henry, they weren't even able to move to a second plan. That, you know, the way you're kind of, I'd say a lot of teams now go, right, with a plus one, what do we do? With an extra man because of a red card, what do we do? So they have to evolve into that setup a little bit. And Galway just didn't seem to manage that better. They didn't seem to have that second plan. And just look, like I said, I think Henry, that's the hard part of management, because you have a picture in your head of how you want it to look. But it's then obviously how you transfer that to your players through your coaches and stuff like that. And for whatever reason, you know, Galway seem to just kind of be struggling with that at the moment. It's very hard to get a real read on what they're trying to do, because you could see at the start of that match, they had the four in the half-forward line and Whelan and Concannon inside, and they just couldn't seem to get the ball into them enough. But even too, like, one thing I feel you know, as a manager, right, you trust your gut on certain things, you assess situations and you make decisions. And I think this is maybe reflective of what personnel and what good lads are available in Galway. You know, Henry made the decision about Lynn. And I thought, like, that's something that, and I can understand him doing it, but when you strip it back down, I think it was brave of Henry, it was risky, it was brave of Lynn, but he just looks miles off it, lads, doesn't he? He just, like, that's a hard thing to do. I don't care what anyone says. You spend 5 years away from inter-county hurling, and it's a hard thing to come back to the pace of the game now and try, you know, he even had a little tackle on Fanning there, and it just looked, it looked a bit clumsy. Do you know, it doesn't look the slick, you know, athletic kind of, you know, real athletic players that you have now. And like I said, it was brave, but it's one that has the potential to backfire now. I suppose Glyn needed a league campaign maybe to get him up to speed. But yeah, I think, I agree with you, Mick. Henry just looks really frustrated at the moment. And like they're under pressure. Galway are under pressure now at the moment because, as you said there, I think other teams will be looking at him. And if Micheál Donoghue, like we talked about Dublin, they're under the radar a fair bit. They're nice and quiet. They've had a couple of decent results. They will definitely be looking at that. And we've seen massive drama a few years ago in Leinster where all the teams went down to the last day and the score ebbed and flowed and everyone finished on 7 points and Galway lost out. So we have a potential for that to happen this year in Leinster. It's going to be interesting because Kilkenny have to go to Dublin as well. So there's a lot to play for yet.
Oh, there's a hell of a lot to play for. Just fly through the Joe McDonagh Cup results, lads. Laois had a right good win down in Kerry. I think it was 5 or 6 in the end. Offaly had a handy enough win against Mead, and it was a draw between Westmead and Down. And I know we've talked about this, like Westmead have tailed off this year, unfortunately. But just Eddie on Down, like Down have put themselves well in the mix. The last, I think Ronan Sheehan is the longest serving senior inter-county manager outside of John Kiely in the hurling, and like he's brought them to a really consistent level. I know Trevor Fletcher is up there now as well. And it'll be interesting if it comes down to Offaly and Down in the last game potentially for qualification. Offaly play Kerry in 2 weeks' time. And that's kind of, you think it maybe could be a semi-final. Yeah, but Down have put themselves right in the mix as well. Laois look a cut above at the minute. But yeah, it's kind of, it's Kerry, Down, Offaly kind of fighting for that second spot at the minute.
Yeah, I think we'd all have been fierce disappointed with Westmeath. Whatever has gone on there, they just, the arse has fallen out of them for some reason. But yeah, and I remember I'd be talking to Fletch the odd time, you know, going back. I remember years ago, I hurled over New York with him and we kind of stayed in touch ever since. And he made that shift across the border into Ufalia for Ross Grayman to do that. Now, it can't have been easy, but he was looking for something. He had done a really good job. There in Shinrón. So they're moving in the right direction. And I suppose having a manager in place where the players are happy with him and there's a continuity, there's a consistent message being brought there. So that consolidates itself over a number of seasons and it's starting to grow a little bit. And whatever Fletch has brought to that, he's probably helped him a little bit. But yeah, like you said, they're Laois, Morton really, really well. They're assured of their spot in the final. And it comes down to now, like you said, I think it's Kerry and Offaly now to slug it out. And that'll be interesting. You know, it's an opportunity for Laois now to maybe, you know, give a few other lads a bit of a spin. But they're playing a nice brand of hurling. You know, central to it is Paddy Purcell, be the looks of it. And like, if you're looking at the opposition, you have to nullify his influence off the match because he's a big, rangy fella. He's very athletic. He gets around the pitch. He scores. He scores goals and points. And what he is he's probably their go-to man. He sprays the ball around nicely. He finds the lads inside. So there's a good competition going there again. And Offaly will definitely, you know, they got over a big setback the first day, cough up a lead of 5 points, I think, coming down the straight. They'll be really determined to get to Croke Park. And it looks like that. Kerry, you couldn't, you know, rule them out either. So either way, there's a lot to play for there.
Mull, I'll come to you for your moment of the weekend in 1 second. But boys, I cannot get my head around how this weekend, again, there's 3 big hurling games on Saturday and 2 of them are on GAA Go. And even, lads, the selection of the games. I know that they have to pick games in advance or whatever. But surely, you're allowed to change, you know, your choice. So Dublin and Antrim is the second biggest game on this weekend. There's no point in saying any different. It is. It has massive ramifications. And that game has not been broadcast at all. So it's not on GAA Go. So we have Kilkenny and Carlow. And with due respect, like,
is the bigger one.
Dublin Antrim is definitely the bigger one. And then you have Limerick and Cork on Saturday evening. So lads, we're going, there'll be 3 weeks in total between the last game on terrestrial television and the next game on terrestrial television. And I just cannot get my head around that from a promotion point of view. I appreciate that GAA Go needs subscribers and all that, but surely to God, there should be hurling, at least one hurling game broadcast nearly every weekend. Because lads, our window is very small. Once Munster and Leinster is over, we have preliminary quarterfinals, and with due respect, they're not going to be broadcast on terrestrial television. With the quarterfinals, two semifinals, and a final. So, like, our window is small. I just feel like we're missing out a window to promote these games. Eddie, I'm going to come back to you for your moment of the weekend in a second, because of a fair idea, it could be a refereeing decision / move. But Mull, your moment of the weekend.
For me, Desi Hutchins' pass to Jack Pendergast. That was just a thing of beauty. The easiest thing was to take it on himself, put the ball over the bar, got the head up, you know, scanned his options, and there was Jack Pendergast, stuck it in the back of the net, and to hear the roar go up, that just kind of just cemented it for me that, you know, Waterford are back on track. Yeah, that was a thing of beauty for me.
Two savage assists for Desi on the old fantasy.
Yeah.
The fact,
but even the roar that went up when Jack Pendergast put that ball in the back of the net was just deafening, you know.
Eddie?
It's going to end up a moment of the year, lads. And you just, you know, if I'm Barry Hogan in that situation, look, there was lots of them, right? Ian Burns' little out the back door pass, Chin's catch. I find it hard to come away from that. But unfortunately, and it was highlighted last night, like even the two umpires, one giving it, the goalie kind of ensuring it going over the bar. He doesn't even argue. And then your man is like, no way, that ball is right. That's frustrating.
Did you see? Did you see the umpire? Did you see the umpire getting hopped actually for Rory O'Connor's point?
Oh, he fell out. It was funny.
But lads. I said this. I think it was. I could have said it last year. I think we need to. It could have been this year or last year. I think we need to bring in referees on the day to do the umpire duties. This thing of just, as I said, the referee bringing along his own umpires. They're getting a cup of tea. They're getting a sandwich on the day. No way. It has to stop. Bring in proper referees or proper officials to do the umpires. And you know what? If it costs €150 or €200, their expenses for the day, pay them. There's too much at stake. And I think that has to be the way going forward.
And we're probably lucky that that one didn't come at a huge price in the Wexford match. That probably glossed over. And I felt there was a few refereeing decisions in that match where there was quite clear, and you understand the ref trying to let it go. It's not easy. And then there was a kind of a softer free given to the team that could have had a free. And that really, that's a bugbear of mine. But you just wonder what in the name of God's, you know. And for James Owen, look, the one thing I think is we don't want to see, and again, the keyboard warriors abusing that, that's not the thing to do, right? But I think it would be refreshing as much as anyone else for James Owens. I mean, that's where I think having a strong team of people around you going, oh, geez, hold on the mics, geez, James, you just ran across in front of the goalie. Like, just retake it. Just retake it. Very, very simple. Whatever got into his head. And look, it's an honest mistake. It wasn't born out of badness or anything like that. So just own the mistake and go, oh. And if I'm Barry Hogan, in some ways, it's such an unusual situation. I'd have said, I'm not poking out that ball. And make a big scene about it, because he just screened them beautifully. And I don't know if Bennett used it or not, because he's good at finishing those. But when I remember someone put it from behind the goal, he just went, oh God. And it's just a howler. And like, Jesus, lads, if that costs you your season, you'd wreck the place, wouldn't you? You'd just go, that's after costing us our season potentially. And these little moments come at the end of a match. So I think that's going to go down as a moment of the year as well.
It was a mad one. It's funny. He could have actually covered off half the goal for Bennett as well. But potentially, you don't know. But Barry Hogan looks over, and I remember looking at it in real time. I was like, Jeez, did that actually happen?
The same. The young lad said it to me. He said, geez, the goalie just ran across in front of him. And I was like going, so then about a few minutes later, it started to circulate.
Well, lads, what would have actually happened if Ben had actually hit
him?
Owens.
You have to retake it.
You know, like.
It'd be some crack if he just, for the crack, he just says, I'm going to peel this lad coming across.
Hey, wouldn't it be some crack if he smacked him in the back of the arrow? So one of them real kind of ones again, the back of training, you know, that you can't see it.
Oh, God.
No, that'll teach you to stay out of the way. But look, it's just a mad situation. I don't think we've ever seen, like, do you know, it's whatever got into James Owens' heads to take off. Like, what did he think? Oh, shit, I'm in the wrong place. Do you know what? Because he was perfectly placed where he was. But, it's a mad one. Like, and there was some good moments. Like I said, John's one, the Desi, some brilliant moments in it. But, like, it's a pity that that's what's talking over. Like, and you're saying, God, if Tipats have lost that match, and there was a few others, you know, but that one on its own, if that costs you your season, it's very frustrating. I remember walking the day up in Croke Park years ago, I think, famous one with the Limerick Miners. And it was the day the Hawkeye was stood down. Myself and Liam Sheedy and Michael Lester were sitting in the RT box. So we were directly behind the fella that struck the shot. And it went a good foot and a half over the bar. And for whatever, and the goalie done the usual.
It was Barry Nash, wasn't it?
I think it was Barry Nash. And it cost Limerick. Limerick didn't get to the All-Ireland. So it's ones like that you just go. And I think some of the managers have been very, very restrained in relation to those big decisions. And like I said there, I think it's important. Question has to be asked, why aren't we helping our officials more? We really need to help them as much as we can, because it is a ferociously fast game. There's absolutely scope for human error. I don't think anyone minds that. But if there's instances there where it can be very quickly remedied without any big on, we don't want a VAR you know, it's a mess what's going on with VAR at the moment. But an element of it could be beneficial, I think.
100%. Just speaking of help, lads, before we finish up, you know, we're the three kind of out the front of the show, but we've a main man in behind that's been producing from the very start, Dara Whelan. This is Dara's last show as producer of the Troy-in. He's been the whole way through, every step of the way, helped to make it the success that it is. He's the one that's pulling the strings. He's the lad down hanging up the jerseys, having everything ready for all of us. We just come out and we just arrive and pawn the show. But huge thanks to Dara for all his work. Mull, give Dara an I loves me county there before he goes, will ya?
I loves me county, Dara.
Good, my lad. That's brilliant.
Man, Dara.
Thanks a million, Dara. That's it for another packed show this week. Thanks to Eddie Brennan and John Milan for joining me once again. We'll be back next week. And in the meantime, don't forget to rate, review and follow the show on Apple, Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Thanks a million for listening and goodbye.